I watched a football game yesterday. How many of y'all extremely dislike Nebraska? No? You like Nebraska? Would you rather cheer for Illinois? You notice I said it right again. That's like three times now. They won, man. They're like first place. Enjoy the moment. Enjoy the moment. You guys like funny stuff? Not me. I'm not funny. I like watching America's Funniest Home Videos. You guys watch that show? What is it about us that we take joy in other people's demise? You ever notice why we laugh at people getting hurt? Especially those cats that fall on the ice and slide down the steps. I'm like, man, that hurt. The kid that bangs his head on the concrete. I know that hurt because I was that kid. You know the ones I really like, though? The ones that I love the most? Being a pastor and a preacher. Is those ones where the parent is videotaping the kid. And they walk up and they say, honey, have you been playing with the scissors? And they're like, no, as they've got big chunks taken out of their hair. You know those, huh? What about the ones like, have you been in the chocolate? No. Sweetie, have you been playing in mommy's makeup as it looks like a clown exploded all over him? Why is it a bit? Why do we think that's so funny when it is a great representation? It is an incredible representation of how sin is actually born into us. Wait, got quiet in here all of a sudden, huh? You know, as I was researching this stuff, you know, I was reading some articles, and what I found out just kind of blew me away. I just read that 100 people from the Naval Academy, 100, got busted for cheating on their physics final exam. You see, they were doing it virtually, and they thought they could get away with something, and they still got caught. They went through and have a creed of integrity. What is it about us that we feel the need that we have to hide our mistakes? And that no one will ever find out. We hide those mistakes because we're afraid of the consequences of our actions. We're afraid of we have this fear of disapproval that makes us want to hide our flaws. We have this desire to keep our secrets out of the sight of others because we have this thing where we want people to see us with a positive perception. And so out of this, we exaggerate ourselves into some kind of counterfeit perfection. Man, can I tell you that when I started getting into the psychology of this, it kind of scared me because I'm like one of those ones that likes to deep dive into stuff. And this was like one of those rabbit holes I was afraid that I was never going to come out of. Because I had to ask myself this. This is the one thing that kind of drove me for this. And this whole thing was, what happened that honesty and integrity is now considered some kind of sign of weakness? That's scary when you think about it, that honesty and integrity is a sign of weakness. You might think to yourself, that's not the case. We should all be honest. We should all be forthright. We should all be have this inward sign of integrity. But hey, this is a lost and broken world. It's a lost and broken world. I read this, here again, I read this from a self-professed armchair philosopher. And this is what he said. I don't have it on the screen, but I'm going to read this to you. He said, being too honest is a sign of impaired social intelligence. Just let that sink in. He goes on to say, he says, a major factor in what makes the wheels of social discourse and social interaction spin so effortlessly is to know how and when to lie, how and when to shade the truth, and or to be, get this, deceptive. We're all shaking our heads, but this is the world. He goes on, he said, so those who are too honest all the time frequently end up offending people and violating social conventions and norms, and thereby appearing socially boorish or abnormal. It keeps getting better, doesn't it? Let me finish this up. He said, to socialize in this world effectively, you have to use lies and to be deception as the social grease. As bad as that may sound, even the most noble and sincere among us will bend the truth or hide the truth or employ deception occasionally in order to prosper or survive socially. Are y'all, my mouth is hanging open over this. Is it true? You guys agree with this? Is this where we are at as a society? Do we really feel the need that we have to hide or bend the truth as a survival mechanism? Today we're going to finish out our series on Joshua. And we've talked a lot of stuff about how when we follow God's path, he completely opens the doors for us. He completely opens the doors for victory. And now we're going to look at what happens when sin enters the picture. What happens when lies and deceptions are thrown us into the mix. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to get into the passages today. Father God, I thank you for this day and the day in which we can get together and praise you, for you are good and you are faithful and we love you. Lord, we're heartbroken by the number of people who still are becoming sick from COVID. And so, Lord, we cry out to you. For we know that you and you alone hold the key to our salvation. And so let us seek it with earnest. Lord, I lift up all those people down in the path of the hurricane. Lord, did you guard them and protect them? Lord, let them cry out for you, Lord. And so I ask you, Lord, to help us focus on what is true, what is noble, what is right, what is pure and lovely, and what is admirable. In your eyes, Lord, these things are excellent and praiseworthy. So, Lord, we should be focusing on these things. So let us put our eyes on your Son and all the things that build the kingdom. Lord, I ask that you help us now and give us wisdom and clarity. We can receive your word and respond in a manner worthy of the blood shed on Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, you know how I am. I'm going to give you three things to think about today. Okay, let's start with this. Sin breaks the covenant with God. Okay, that's an easy one. Okay, and this is my favorite. Sin snatches the defeat from the jaws of victory. Sin snatches defeat from the jaws of victory. And finally, like my brother showed us, with the toothpick. Sin cannot be hidden. Sin cannot be hidden. So let's go with this. Sin breaks the covenant with God. I have the passages up on the screen today. Joshua 7.1. Good, it's up here. It says this, but the people of Israel broke faith and But the people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things. For Achan, son of Carmi, and son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, and the tribe of Judah, took some of the devoted things. And the anger of the Lord burned against the people. I wish I'd have made a slide with that first word up there that says, but. You guys know what but is? You guys watch Schoolhouse Rock? Conjunction, junction, what's your, you know the words? Conjunction, junction, what's your function? Hooking up words and phrases and clauses. You don't know the words. Or you don't want to sing it with me, don't you? What? You know what? You remember what the three conjunctions were that he put on the screen? And, or, and, but. But is the conjunction, excuse me. But is the conjunction that says everything behind it is the opposite of what's in front of it. Like everything that walks in light, but in darkness, even your own shadow won't follow you. Oh, feel free to write that one down. You want me to say it again? Everything walks in light, but in darkness, even your own shadow won't follow you. So if it starts off with but, what is the first thought? What is this conjunction leading up to? Go back up to Joshua 6:27, and it says this. It says, so the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was in all the land. And then it goes over and it says, but. The Lord was with Joshua, but he was not with Israel. Because Israel had sinned. They had broke faith. They had done what the Lord had told them not to do. Namely, not to take any treasure from the city of Jericho, because all that was devoted things. It was devoted to the Lord's treasure. The thing about this whole thing is that all of Israel was punished for the sin of one man. One man. Not everybody took something, just Achan. Achan snatched up a few trinkets and said, it looks good to me. You're like, how is that fair? How is it fair that one guy sinned and the whole everybody else has to pay for it? I think I've heard this story before. When Adam sinned, he says in Romans 5:12, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world, and then Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone. Everyone has sinned. We are all under the sin of Adam. The Bible tells us constantly that we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? We know. And therefore, we're all under the punishment of death. The sin that Achan committed, hold on now, follow this. The sin that Achan committed was one that was done when no one else was looking. When no one else was looking, Achan sinned, and it cost all of Israel. How does one man's sin affect the lives of so many? Well, that's the way sin works. That's the way sin works. It's never just about one person. Let's take the sin of adultery. Not only does it affect the person engaged in the act, it affects the spouse, the children, the grandparents. It affects the friends who now have to choose sides. What about David? What about King David? When he admired Bathsheba. A baby died. A husband was killed. How about when he broke sin and he took a census? David broke a covenant with God and took a census specifically when he was told not to, and 70,000 people paid the price with their lives. So don't tell me that sin is just a mistake. The Bible tells us, it reminds us, I think we had something about the heart. Did we not have something up here about the heart a little while ago? The Bible tells us in Proverbs, it says, from the heart flows the springs of life. Disobedience to God is a contagious disease that has serious effects on the broader community of believers. We're seeing that. Got any cancer survivors in here? Got any caretakers of cancers? Got any cancer caretakers? What's the one word that we wait for as caretakers when our loved ones are on the operating table and the doctor comes out? What is the word that we wait to hear? We got it all. Right? We long to hear those words, that we got it all. Why? Because we know that one cancerous cell left behind can metastasize into something that kills us. That's what sin is. It's the one cell. It's the one cell that we hope that God, the doctor, removes from us so it doesn't metastasize in us into something that's going to take us. In the broader community of the body of Christ, my sin can't be isolated from your sin. Your sin can't be isolated from mine, because we are unified under the Holy Spirit. When I sin, as the body of Christ, we're all under that. When you sin, under the body of Christ, we're all affected. So sin breaks the covenant with God. It's what we have to remember about this is what's done in private has a very public effect. Second, we'll talk about sin snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. David had just gone up. Jericho was theirs. They're riding the high. God's got this. Woo! And then we read this. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, do not have all the people go up, but let 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not make the whole people toil up there, for Ai is few. So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, and they fled before the men of Ai. They fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai killed about 36 of their men and chased them before the gate of Shebarim and struck them at the descent. And the hearts of the people melted and became like water. So Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening, he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. They had just seen Jericho fall down. Victory handed to them. And they didn't even fire a shot. All they did was, ah! Ah! Boom. You want us to go over and take over Tilton? We just conquered Chicago. You want us to go up against Tilton? Cool, we got this. This is so us, right? We ride the highs of God, and then all of a sudden we have these great victories, and they were like, I got this. And next thing you know, we're like, oh, I don't got this. I would guess I'm not the only one in here. Matter of fact, I know I'm not the only one in here. When things are going good, I ain't hollering out to God for his help. Amen. Come on. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We only cry out to God when we're at our wit's end and we can't figure out there's nothing else. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. Joshua was so confident, man, about his victory over. I get this. Did you see the words up there? He didn't even pray. Didn't even pray. Didn't seek the Lord's face. He relied on his skills. He listened to others. Oh, did y'all catch that? He listened to everybody else. And that got him in trouble. They were the ones that he trusted. Had Joshua gone up and sought the Lord's face, the Lord was the first thing says, you ain't going to win because you got sin in your camp. What should have been a rout by any stretch of the imagination was turned into defeat because of the sin of one man. But that's not the whole story. The whole story shows up again in verse 5. Listen to what he said in verse 5. He said, and the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Not only was the battle lost, the people lost their will. That same phrase, that's the same phrase that we heard earlier when Rahab said, when she was talking to the spies, remember that? And she says, the people heard about you and they heard about all this and they're afraid and their hearts melted. The biblical context, that word melted means disheartened. It means they became so discouraged and so anxious that there was just, there's no way we can resist. They lost courage. They lost hope. See, we can be riding the highs to the highs and take our eyes off God for just a second. Just a second. Sin creeps in, the victory's lost, and the joy is gone. Peace is replaced by anxiety, confidence by fear. You see, sin leads to guilt. Guilt leads into this huge downward spiral. We've all had a guilty conscience. It's not a pleasant place to be. Guilty consciences lead into depression. Guilty consciences lead us into places like, well, it can't get any worse. Well, yes, it can. Did you know between 1995 and 2001, the term air rage was coined? And in that six-year stretch, there were only 1,655 incidents of air rage over 6 years. In 2021, keep in mind, we're not finished with August yet. There have been over 3,600 incidents of air rage. You see, folks, our only hope is in seeking the Lord. The Bible tells us that if we don't sin, then the truth isn't in us, and then that way we make God a liar. John 1:9 says, if we confess those sins, though he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and purify us from our unrighteousness. You see, when Joshua finally realized that he had sinned, he fell prostrate on the ground. And even though only 36 men died, and by any stretch of military command, 36 men out of 3,000 is acceptable losses. And yet, in Joshua's case, they were not. He cries out to God and he said one thing. And when I was reading this, I never caught that he did this until I was studying for this passage. He says this in Joshua 7:9. He says, and what will you do for your great name? Now on the surface, That seems like a poke in the chest, don't it? What will you do for your great name? Can I help you with this one? Because I struggled with it. Joshua is looking at this and he says, no. I failed you. I was beaten. I didn't seek your face, and now I'm embarrassed. And as your follower, as your chosen leader, I brought embarrassment upon you. How will you help me to bring glory and honor back to your name that I have brought down? How will you help me to bring glory to your name in spite of my failure? Our failures are not because of God. It's because of the things that we fail to recognize in ourselves, things that we fail to recognize, knowing full well what's right and what's wrong. And when we continually to rely upon ourselves and fail to seek God in all things, we snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. Lastly, I'm going to tell you this. Sin cannot be hidden. Sin is not a toothpick stuck to the back of your thumb. Joshua 7, 20 and 21 says this. We're going, and Achan answered Joshua. So they found him out. They found out the cat who went and got some stuff. He could have come forward. He could have done the right thing a long time ago. But no, he buried it under his tent. But the Lord sees everything, like our brother told us. So they found him out. They bring him before Joshua, and he said, "Truly I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful cloak from Shinar and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them. And when I coveted them, I took them. And see, they're hidden in the earth under my tent with the silver underneath." Discovery Channel has this show called "I Almost Got Away With It." I almost got away with it. It's where they follow criminals who have tried to get away with crimes, or they escape from jail. Some of them lasted a couple days, some weeks, some for decades. But in the end, they all got caught. You see, Achan thought that if he hid the cloak and the silver and the gold, that no one would find out. He thought if he hid it, no one would find out. You ever seen those videos? Go back to America's Funniest Home Videos. You watch the crime shows like that. You ever see the guy that's got the bag on his head who's trying to rob a place and doesn't cut out any eye holes? Huh? You seen his cats? Their face may be hidden, but their intelligence is on full display. Achan, he saw this stuff and he took it. All right, so newsflash. How many of you guys know that God is omnipotent, meaning that he has unlimited power? How many of you guys know that he is omnipresent, meaning that he's everywhere at the same time? How many of you guys know that he's omniscient, meaning that he has an infinite awareness and insight? And yet we still sin. Huh? Thinking we're going to hide from it. Thinking we're going to get away from it. Achan, if you read his confession up close, he says two things in here that really helps us to understand this. He said, "I saw and I coveted." I coveted it. You guys don't remember the Ten Commandments? Oh, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder. Those are all actions, right? Don't do this, don't do this, don't. They're all outwardly actions. I shall not kill. Remember what the 10th one is? The 10th one is, thou shalt not covet anything that is your neighbor's. Why is that such a big deal? Coveting creates a desire, creates an inward desire that forces us to take an outward action. It's internal. It's temptation. See, where we get into coveting and temptation, it's not the first glance, right? Because the first glance, you have the choice right there to either lay it aside. It's the second one that gets you in trouble. Amen? I've seen a number of men get smacked by their girlfriends not for the first look, or the second. Not only did he covet this, he rationalized it. Because that's what we do, right? We sin, we justify it, we rationalize it. Ah, it's just a little sin, nobody's going to get hurt. It's just a little white lie. Achan called the stuff that he took spoil. When God told Joshua not to take anything, he told Joshua that it was devout things. Achan didn't see it as devout things. He saw it as plunder, as spoil. And so he took it. He objectified it. Now, what Eve did in the garden, what David did with Bathsheba, the Bible tells us in Numbers, he says this in Numbers, he says, be sure, your sin will find you out. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? They just sold that awesome piece of ground and they stood up before Peter. Yeah, this is all there is. Carry the dead guy out. Throughout his ministry, throughout the ministry of Jesus Christ, we learned one important thing about our Lord and Savior. He knows the hearts of the people. Time and time again in the Bible, it tells us that he knows our thoughts. And we're foolish if we think otherwise. Did I ever tell you guys about the time Valerie caught me weighing myself after Thanksgiving? Huh? She caught me standing on the scales, and I was sucking up, holding my breath. She looks at me, she says, you know that's not going to help, right? You know this. I said, sure it will. I can see the numbers. It helps me to see the numbers. Maybe the only things to be hidden are those things. Jesus knows that all things are given to him by this awareness through the Holy Spirit. And that same Spirit lives within each one of us. And it gives us the same awareness. For those of us who believe in his death, burial, and resurrection, we too have this inward connection. You know, Jesus, they took him and they bore false witness against him, and he offered forgiveness. He knew they were going to sin against him, and they knew they were going to beat him, and yet he offered forgiveness. He knew they were going to nail him to the cross, and yet he still offered forgiveness. Guys were taunting him on his right and left and were hanging there with him. And what did he do? He offered forgiveness. Darkness can't hide from the light. And the light will always overcome the darkness. Hebrews 4:13 says this. It says, nothing in creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him whom we must give an account. And you know, Achan had seen God provide for his family in the wilderness. God had seen Achan, Achan had seen the parting of the Jordan River. Achan had seen all this stuff. He had seen the walls of Jericho fell. And in the end, his entire family is stoned. All the stuff that his entire family owned was hauled into this and burned. And then a bunch of rocks hoisted on top to remember that this is the Valley of Achan. Over a cloak. And here's the heart of the crazy part about this. If he'd waited just 3 more days, all that would have been his anyway. Just if he just waited on the Lord, the plunder of everything that had gone after would have been his. And he took stuff that he couldn't use. There was no way he was going to be able to ever use it. James, the book of James tells us this. It says, temptation, and I'm in chapter 1, verse 14, 15, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation today. It says, the temptation comes from our own desire, which entices and drags us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Achan got caught up in the moment. He said, I saw. Then he said, because it was so beautiful, I coveted. James said this. Remember what he says? All good things come from heaven. All good things come from heaven. What good is treasure that we can't use? Better yet, why do we hide things that aren't ours? Why do we hide things that are supposed to be good? In the end, the only way sin of Israel was ever to overcome I was to eliminate sin. And that tells us that our success is not based on our glory, but the glory of the Almighty. So what incentives do we have for obeying God? Well, I'm glad you ask. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation, for afterward they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Sin can't be hidden, but we can be made clean from it by our repentance and confession. Let's go ahead and Mary, if you or Pam, I'm sorry, Pam's going to do our, did y'all like the flute last week? Yeah? Well, Pam's going to do it for us again today, aren't you? Cool deal. You ready? All right, go ahead. I'm going to put up this verse right here, and then we're going to get into our time of response. It's Psalm 32, and it says, for when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. But when I acknowledged my sin to you and I did not cover my iniquity, I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave my iniquity of my sin. That's where we're at right now. It's taking this moment to come before the Lord and confess our sin. If we confess, he's faithful and just to act. He's faithful and just to forgive. So during this time of response, I'm going to be down here to pray with you, for you, and over you if you so desire. If you're one that would like to be at your own seat today, please, let's just bow our heads and give everybody the opportunity to respond to the Lord as he sees fit. If you'll just bow your head and close your eyes, those who wish to come forward today, please feel free to come forward. This altar is open, and it's open for you.